You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where God is true, man is sinful, and the church, well, it needs fixed.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. And we don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands in the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com. Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Here at Grace Ambassadors Radio, we want to help you get your Bible questions answered. So if you have questions about the Bible, please visit our website. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. You can submit your questions there, and we will be sure to get them answered on one of our weekly broadcasts. Again, our website is graceambassadorsradio.com. Our first question today is an important one about salvation. The questioner asks, do I need to confess my sins to God in order to be saved? Or just trust in Christ and his finished crosswork to have paid for all of my sins?
Yeah, that's got to be a trick question. Almost every week we talk about the gospel being simply trusting Jesus Christ, paying for all your sins as the gospel. Of course, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says in verse 1 through 4 that the gospel is that you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Romans 4, 24, and 25 says that righteousness will be imputed unto you if you believe on him who raised Jesus from the dead, who died for your offenses and resurrected for your justification. And so over and over again, Paul talks about your salvation by grace through faith in Christ's finished work. And there's nothing else. It's without works. Romans 4, 5, to him that worketh not. Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness. So it's not by works. So in this dispensation of the grace of God, which is found in Paul's epistles, you do not see any sort of work, any sort of religious exercise attached to your salvation because Jesus Christ did all the work. And so all the work necessary for your salvation was done by him. So the question was, do I need to confess my sins? Well, this is a common mistake, a common myth in Christianity. Obviously, we are sinners. Romans 5:8 says that we were sinners. Romans 3 proves that we were sinners. The law gives us the knowledge of sin. If you think you're not a sinner, just read the law a few times. You'll see where you broke that hundreds of places. If not the spirit of the law, which Jesus taught. And so we're all sinners breaking that law, God's law, and we're unrighteous in ourselves. And so no doubt we need to acknowledge our sin. We need to know that. The idea that God doesn't know what sins you committed is just wrong. He knows that. Maybe you don't know that, which is why he revealed his law to show that to you, right? He revealed his word to be a mirror against your soul. But once you realize the wretchedness of your sin, the wickedness of your sin, how it deserves death and righteous punishment, and how you're going to receive righteous punishment for them when Christ returns in judgment, then you realize that what you need is not confession. God already knows your sins. What you need is salvation. What you need is God's grace. And that is what God has provided in Christ. And And so, of course, the idea of confession comes from Israel's doctrine, where before the dispensation of grace was revealed, when no one understood the cross of Christ, 12 apostles were ignorant that Jesus had to die in Luke chapter 18, Matthew 16. And so before Jesus died, in Israel's program, when God was dealing with a nation with a system of laws, he taught them to offer sacrifices and confess their sin, because they would come with an animal confessing their sin with the animal. They would come to the priest and confess their sin, the priest being the mediator between God and man. Okay. Paul teaches us in 1 Timothy 2 that there's one mediator between God and man today, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. So it's not the man, the Pope, even though he thinks he's the vicar of Christ. It's not any other man you go to, not the priest at the Roman Catholic Church down the road or your pastor. There is no other man that mediates between you and God save the man, Christ Jesus. And that man died once for your sins, and he went to heaven and offers you salvation freely by grace through your faith in what he accomplished already. And so there's no need for you to confess sins to be saved. God knows your sins. Christ died for your sins. There's a need for you to trust Jesus' payment for your sins. And so, of course, the latter part of that question is the correct one. 1 John 1:9 says, John being one of the 12 apostles, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And while that may be true, written by John, one of the 12 apostles of Israel, in Israel's program, they needed to confess their sins as a nation, according to Leviticus 26, verse 40. Your forgiveness is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and your faith in that blood, Romans 3:25, is what saves you, his blood shed for you. Okay, and so 1 John 1:9 is not the Christian bar of soap. It's not something the Christians need to it's not a good gospel verse. Let me just say it plainly. It's not a good gospel verse. John is one of the 12 apostles, not the one apostle of the Gentiles.
But isn't faith without works dead?
Ah, yes. I love it when people quote the Bible, because now we're having Bible study, and that's what we're about here. I hope you sense the excitement in our program about the Bible and the authority we give it. You know, we try to let God be true and let all the Bible be accurate in what it says. And so we take all the scripture, as Paul says, and when people ask questions quoting Bible verses like this one, it's great, because this means they've heard that somewhere, and this is a phrase from the scripture. And of course, a lot of religious Christianity likes this verse as well. And this is in James chapter 2 and verse 20. So in James 2, verse 20, James is talking here about the necessity of works and not having faith only. And James 2:20 says, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And he goes on to explain how Abraham, our father, was justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And so the teaching goes that, you know, if you're a man of faith, if you believe in God and you believe in righteousness and you renounce sin and you believe in God's holiness, then that man of faith should obey, you know, God's righteous statutes and his laws and his commandments. And otherwise, your faith in God and your faith in righteousness and against sin is vain. Because if you live a lifestyle and live a certain way that's contrary to God, yet you say you believe in God and you love God, then, you know, you're a hypocrite. You know, your faith is in vain. So faith without works is dead faith. It's a meaningless faith, an empty faith. And that's what James is talking about. But I hope you notice what I just said, which is contrary to what I said just 5 minutes ago about the gospel. We're all sinners, saved by grace, you see. The only way your faith can be dead is if the object of your faith is dead, okay? And so if the object of your faith is God's righteousness, well, none of us are righteous. See, if the object of your faith is God's righteous statutes, if the object of your faith is living a good life, being a good person, you behaving like a Christian, and the object of your faith and what you rest assured in that makes yourself a Christian, you think is your good behavior, then if you don't fulfill that, then your faith is empty. You see, of course, I'm going to try to convince you that that whole faith system of you believing in your behavior and your good works and your religious activities is wrong to begin with, because that earns no merit for you before God. If you read James chapter 1, verse 1, now I don't know where you're listening to us here, whether in the car or at home, but you know, you have a Bible, when you get home, read the Bible, open up the book of James, which is where faith without works is talked about. And James 1, verse 1, James, writing here his letter, he tells us who he is writing to. And we always make a big deal about this on this program, because it's necessary when we read the scripture to know who is speaking and to whom they are speaking, to know whether you're in the audience or not, because not all the Bible is speaking to you. In James 1, verse 1, James says he's writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. James is writing to Israel. There are 12 tribes in Israel. You know, there's not a single tribe in the church. Paul says the church is neither Jew nor Gentile. All nations of people are in the church. There are no tribes, but there were 12 tribes from Jacob in Israel. James is writing to Israel. James was a part of the Lord's earthly ministry to that one chosen nation. James never mentions the cross of Christ once. And that's because James, when he wrote this epistle, did not understand the mystery preaching of the cross of Christ. That was revealed first to the Apostle Paul. And so James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, writing about how they should operate under the New Testament, under their covenant, how they need to endure to the end, and how if they love Jesus, they need to keep his commandments. And if they don't keep his commandments, then they don't love Jesus, and they're not going to go into the kingdom. That's what Jesus taught in John 14. And so James has a lot of parallels to Jesus' earthly ministry. And not a day in Jesus' earthly ministry life did any Jew understand the cross. They didn't know the importance of that. They didn't know the gospel of the cross coming from that message. So that tells us the context of James. And so in James chapter 2, when he says faith without works is dead, his faith is in their following the Lord. People like to say, well, I'm a Jesus follower. I'm not a Christian. Well, if that be so, and your faith is in your following of Jesus, and you don't follow him very well, then your faith without you following is dead, isn't it? And that would be true. But you see, if your faith is in Jesus Christ's finished work, then your faith is only dead if Jesus is still dead. But he died for your sins and he rose from the dead. And so if Jesus did all of the work, he died for your sins, he rose from the dead for your justification to offer you salvation freely, then the work is already done. And the object of your faith is in Jesus Christ. It's in his finished work. It's not in the person of Jesus, even though we trust that he's the Christ as well and he's the Son of God. It's in the work of Jesus. And so James, the book of James, does not preach the work of Jesus on the cross for salvation by grace. James preaches the person of Jesus and how they needed to believe who he was, and then they need to accompany that with works. And so James chapter 2 speaks of that. Okay. James 2, verse 14 says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? James actually asked the question, can faith save him? And it's a rhetorical question because his answer is no, faith by itself can't save. Well, that's only true if the object of your faith is not the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ is the only way of salvation. Jesus Christ's death on the cross for your sins is the gospel unto salvation, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And so if your faith is in that, it's not that your faith somehow has done the work to save you. Faith isn't a work. It's that Jesus did the work, and your faith has an object. And so you see, James 2:20, faith without works is dead, is a biblical truth. But it's a biblical truth to people who did not know the cross. And I fear that so much of Christianity is in that same predicament, that they don't know the preaching of the cross, and thus they think they need to behave for salvation, and thus they agree with faith without works is dead. The Roman Catholics hold that argument against the Protestants, and many Protestant churches still teach that as well. And if we get back to the pure teaching of God's grace, the pure preaching of the cross, then we would understand clearly the division, the necessary separation we need to make between the apostles of the Gentiles and the 12 apostles of Israel in the book of James.
So the faith without works question comes straight from one of the 12 apostles of Jesus' earthly ministry to Israel in the Hebrew epistles. And we have another question here about one of those Hebrews epistles. The question says, do you think Peter was writing 1 Peter to Gentiles? The reason I ask is verse 1 says he's writing to strangers, and strangers usually sounds like a word used for non-Jewish folk.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's an astute observation in 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, obviously one of the 12 apostles of Israel, chosen there and promised by Jesus to sit on 12 thrones in his kingdom, judging the 12 tribes, Matthew 19, 28. And in 1 Peter 1, Peter says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. What an interesting statement. Now, we just got done reading James 1, 1, where James said, I'm writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Peter doesn't say it that plainly in 1 Peter 1, but he does say he's writing to the strangers in Galatia. Now, think about this. There is a book in your Bible called Galatians, and that's written by Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. And when Paul writes to the Galatians, he's writing to the churches in Galatia. The Gentile, Jewish, Gentile, whomever's in Galatia, he's writing to them. But Peter, he says, I'm writing to the strangers in Galatia. Those people who don't live there, but have come to live there from a foreign place. And of course, the issue there is that they've been scattered. Just as he says in 1 Peter 1, he's the strangers scattered. James 1, 1, James wrote about the 12 tribes scattered. And the Bible gives you when in history that happened. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, after Stephen was stoned, preaching Jesus the Christ to the rulers of Israel, in Acts 8, verse 1 says, Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, of course. They had a responsibility to stay there according to the commission given to them. But the disciples there were scattered at the persecution against them in Jerusalem. Now, I know it takes some thought, but think about Acts chapter 8 being before Acts chapter 9 when Paul gets saved. You see, Paul's books, The Revelation of the Mystery, was not yet known in Acts chapter 8. But Acts chapter 8 was when the tribes were scattered. And it was in that context that James was written, that 1 Peter was written. And those epistles, those Hebrew epistles written by the 12 apostles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, they were all written to the Jews scattered from the consequence of the events in Acts 8, verse 1. And so is 1st Peter written to Jews? Yes. The answer is yes. It's written to the Jews under the New Testament, the same audience as James and Hebrews, written to the Hebrews. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, written to those who heard the commandment by the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation speaks about Israel all throughout. And so those Hebrew epistles are written to them. Peter mentions in 1 Peter chapter 2, the royal priesthood, the holy nation. And so there's a singular holy nation. And the only holy nation in the scripture is the nation of Israel. The only royalty, the royal generation, is that generation who was promised the king. That's the nation of Israel. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Peter says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. He's writing to Jews who are living among Gentiles, you see. He's not speaking to Gentiles, or else he wouldn't say among the Gentiles. He would just say, live honest lives. And so Peter's clearly writing to Jews scattered.
We've been noticing the difference here in these last couple of questions between the 12 apostles of Jesus' earthly ministry, of whom were James and Peter and John and these men who wrote the Hebrew epistles towards the end of our Bible, and their contrasted messages with Paul and what he was given from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our next question asks very plainly, shouldn't we follow Jesus instead of Paul?
Yeah, so often you've heard us say on our radio program here that Paul is our apostle, and I'm making a distinction, a right division between the Hebrew epistles, the 12 apostles, and the apostle Paul. And people often retort back, well, you know, I follow Jesus, not Paul. And I understand, I appreciate the sentiment, because Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. He's the head of the body of Christ. He is the all in all. He's the preeminent in all things, Colossians 1 says. So certainly Jesus Christ is worthy of all worship, admiration, honor, and glory. And yet we need to realize that it was Jesus Christ who sent Paul. And so that's often my response when they say, I follow Jesus, not Paul. Well, where do you think Paul got his message from? You know, Romans 16:25, Paul says it was the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. No one speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ saving us by grace more than the Apostle Paul. No one speaks about Jesus Christ's deity more than the Apostle Paul, say perhaps John in his Gospel of John. Okay, Paul mentions Christ and glorifies in his cross more than any other book of the Bible. He wrote 13 books. And that's because the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul and made him a chosen vessel, Acts chapter 9, verse 15. So Paul is not our mediator. Paul is not like Muhammad of the Muslims. He's not that at all. He's an apostle. He was sent with a dispensation. 1 Corinthians 9:17, Paul says, a dispensation of the gospel was committed unto me. And so Jesus Christ sent him to preach and sent him to write some letters, and the Holy Spirit inspired 13 books through him. So to neglect him and is neglecting Christ. Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians. He says, if you deny me and neglect me, you're neglecting Christ. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, let him that is spiritual acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so Paul was inspired, and he knew it. And so if we don't read all of Scripture, we're denying God. And so the necessity is not to pick that Scripture over that Scripture, another Scripture, just for for the sake of it. It's to understand what God is doing now, to understand how to rightly divide. And we need to take God's instructions for us today. And so there is a way to do that. We're not trying to cherry pick things. We're not choosing a man here. We're trying to follow Christ according to what he wants us to do today. When people say, well, I follow Jesus, not Paul, typically what follows this in their thinking is that, well, you're telling me in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the red letters that Jesus was not teaching the message or the gospel that Paul was preaching. And of course, that's true. If you study the scripture, you'll see the gospel that Paul preaches in 1 Corinthians 15. The disciples didn't understand in Luke 18, Matthew 16, and other places, Mark 9. And so in Jesus' earthly ministry, recorded in the red letters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's a minister of the circumcision preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's the promised kingdom come to Israel. And so when people say, I follow Jesus, not Paul, they inevitably, they want to go back. They're not talking about, you know, whether Jesus is God and Paul is not in this hierarchy, you know, and the whatever. They're talking about, I want to follow Jesus' example in his earthly ministry in the red letters. And that's the dangerous part, you see, because Jesus is God, you see. Jesus was in Genesis 1 when the world was created. Jesus was in the Old Testament when he appeared with the three other men in the fire in Daniel. Jesus is throughout the scripture. He's God. He's eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Jesus came to the earth, when God came to the earth, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, he came to Israel for a purpose. And then he died, he ascended, and then he came back in Acts 9 to the Apostle Paul and revealed to him a mystery. And then he goes back to heaven. And so you see, Jesus is throughout the scripture. It's not a matter of following Jesus or not. Jesus is obviously Jesus we need to obey. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. And so Paul says, I'm the pattern in 1 Timothy 1:16 that Christ himself set up for the church. So, you know, going back to the red letters is going back before all of the information and instruction about the church is revealed. If we were to rip out Paul's epistles from the Bible, we would not have the gospel, the grace of God. You would have Jesus in the red letters. You would have preaching about water baptism and the law and covenants and Israel and the kingdom, but you would not have the gospel, the grace of God without Paul's epistles. So this is all we're talking about here. It's not about a man. It's about God's revelation of himself and the revelation of Jesus Christ, according to the mysteries.
The next question is, shouldn't we trust God more than the Bible?
God more than the Bible. Yeah, and this goes back even a step further. So this is someone who's denying even the authority of Scripture. And put it on the table. Hopefully you've gotten the impression here after our week after week of question and answers. But we are a Bible-believing ministry. We believe the Bible is God's word from cover to cover. Every word in it is perfect, without error, and we take it all literally. We read it as it is sacred, God's word. We believe it is the holy Bible. And so the Bible is the means through which we understand God. You say, without the Bible, there'd be no way to know for certain whether the God you worship is the true God. And so the Bible is God's revelation of himself. And so we read this book, we read who God is. You would not know Jesus Christ except through the scripture, except for what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us when he came on the earth, except for what Paul reveals about his deity and his Godhead, headship of the body of Christ. We would not understand true doctrine without the words revealed and inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. And that's the position we take. So shouldn't we, what was the question? Should we worship God?
Shouldn't we trust God,
more than the Bible? Yeah. Well, we don't worship a book. Okay. So the pages, the leather binding, you know, the ink on the pages, that's not the issue. And I don't know of anybody who makes that the issue. Obviously we trust God, but we learn to trust God and want to trust him in from the scripture. And so it's necessary for Christians to be Bible believers. We need to know this book. And so, you know, people say, you know, well, how come, you know, the churches are different? How come they disagree on doctrine? Well, it's because they've departed from the source of truth, which is God revealing himself in the scripture. Some people say, well, we can learn about God from nature. When I see a butterfly or a cloud or a sunset and a sunrise, I see God. Well, no, you're looking at the sun. You're looking at butterflies, things God created. And Romans 1 tells us and warns us not to confuse the things that are created by God with God himself. These are two different things. And so we can see the beauty of things that God has created. We can see the loveliness of emotions and feelings we have, but that is not God. God is a being separate from his creation, and he's a personal being that's revealed himself in the Holy Scripture. And so as Christians, we take that position, an intelligent position, a studied position, by opening up the Bible and reading about who this God is. Without the Bible, we turn into pantheists or panentheists. You know, we turn into this to people who are mystical, thinking that everything contains God or God is in everything, and he is not. Okay, what we know about God, how we define God, is restricted to what God has told us about himself. We can't know everything about him. What we do know is in a book. And so we encourage you, and we hope we can help you with your Bible questions. This is why we do Q&A, questions and answers, because it's not about making you feel good about yourself. It's not about trying to promote my church or that church or the other church. It's about getting God's word, a book, in you, and you understanding it. And the more you understand that, the more you understand what God says about himself, the more you'll understand the world, reality, salvation, eternal life, love, joy, peace. Who doesn't want that? And all that comes from God's word.
Having a copy of God's word is so important. If you do not have a Bible and you would like to receive one, we will send you a free King James Bible. If you will go to graceambassadorsradio.com and let us know you need one, we'll drop one in the mail for you to have and to study so that you can learn to study the Bible as well. If you have questions about the Bible that you'd like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, you can visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com, or you can send us a note in the mail, P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986. You can address that to Grace Ambassadors Radio, and we'll get those questions answered here on the broadcast.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Is this what the Bible sounds like to you? Haven't you gone long enough without knowing what you believe? Cut through the confusion and learn to understand your Bible rightly divided with Grace Ambassadors Radio.
Listen to Grace Ambassadors Radio every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on WIOU 1350 AM or visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com, and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Axe Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio. You can listen to this entire episode and previous broadcasts of Grace Ambassadors Radio by visiting our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. Justin Johnson is the pastor of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, located just 2 miles south of Swayze, Indiana, where he teaches the Bible rightly divided every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Tuesday evening at 7. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.